Tonight to Exodus 15, and we'll start in verse 22. As advertised, we're having healing school. Yes. Thank God.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Exodus 15, and we'll start in verse 22. We're going to talk tonight about our covenant of healing, our covenant of healing. Exodus 15, verse 22, it says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah." Marah means bitterness. "And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, 'If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.'" Praise God. Now what's happened here is the children of Israel, they've just come out of Egypt, just fresh out of crossing the Red Sea and just on the other side of the Red Sea. And so they're in a place called the wilderness of Shur, and they're 3 days in the wilderness and they found no water. How many of you know you can't go much longer than 3 days without water? You know, again, as I said, I reminded the children that we took on an 800 mile van ride out to camp 1 year out to Oklahoma. There was like 20 kids that we took, and had 15 of them in the church van, and then we had others in another vehicle. And I said, now, children, I just want you to know the human body can go 3 days without drinking any water. I was trying to eliminate the bathroom breaks. And so kind of the same situation. Moses was leading the children of Israel into the wilderness. They couldn't find a quick trip. They couldn't find anything. You know, there was no place to stop to get any water. And so they're 3 days in the wilderness here. And so they finally get to a place where they find some water, but the waters are bitter. And then God tells Moses what to do, and the waters are made sweet. And at that place, at that point, the Bible says he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and he tested them. And here's what he said: "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, if you do what's right in his sight, if you give ear to his commandments," he says, "I'll put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for..." Why can he do that? Why is he going to do that? "For I am the Lord who heals you." And so here, God reveals his covenant of healing with them. He reveals to them that he is a healer. Amen?
Amen.
He says, "I am." When he says, "I am the Lord who heals you," he said, what he literally said in the Hebrew is, he said, "I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha." That's his name. He said, "My name is healing. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord your healer, the Lord your physician." And so this is one of his covenant names. He revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. And the Bible says here also that he made a statute and an ordinance for them. He made a statute and an ordinance for them. Now we have statutes and we have ordinances. What do we call them? We call them laws, right? You know, there's a statute on the books. There's a law in the books, and it says this or it says that. Well, what does that mean? Well, in theory, it means that it applies to everybody, right? One of the statutes that we have are speed limits. Well, theoretically, those speed limits apply to everybody. No matter who you are, those speed limits apply, right? I'm not saying you have to keep them. Don't feel bad, Roy. But the point is, it applies across the board to everybody. And so God says, "I'm making a statute and an ordinance of healing with you." That means it was for everybody. That means it was not just for a select few. That means it applies across the board. Amen? It doesn't apply just if you have this or you know, or that. It applies for everybody. Amen? So this covenant of healing was for all the children of Israel. Everybody say all.
All.
Amen? Now, this was not the first time, however, it was not the first time that God revealed that he was a healer. He revealed himself as a healer to Abraham and Sarah, didn't he? When they couldn't have it, you might not think about that in terms of healing, but Abraham and Sarah both had to be healed to be able to have Isaac, right?
Amen.
Amen. And God healed them. He revealed himself as a healer to Abraham and to Sarah. He also healed all the children of Israel when he delivered them out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, they came out healed.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. So when you watch that movie, The Ten Commandments, the old one with Charlton Heston, and you see them joyfully coming out of Egypt, and you see people being carried out on stretchers, that didn't happen like that. They were all healed. Look at this scripture. Look at Psalm 105, 37. This is in the New Living Translation. And now this is the, if you look it up in a current New Living Translation, it won't say that. But I've got, it won't. No, they have a updated version and they change it. This was obviously too bold. This obviously was too strong. And they said, we can't, this is just too good to be true. This is one of those scriptures that's too good to be true, but it is true. Look at this. But he brought his people safely out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold. So here we see three things that God wants to do for us. Number one, we see divine protection. He brought his people safely out. So we have a covenant of divine protection. Amen. And then it says they were loaded with silver and gold. That's prosperity. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to be loaded with silver and gold. Amen. Believe it. Believe it. And then the third thing, which is what we're talking about focusing on tonight, there were no. Everybody say no.
No.
What does that mean? It means there were not any, right? Not one, not any. There were no sick or feeble people among them. When they came out of Egypt, there were no sick or feeble people among them. Think about that. Why? Why is that? Because he told them, he said, I want you to observe something we're going to call the Passover. And I want you to take a lamb. And I want you to take that lamb and I want you to kill the lamb. And I want you to take its blood and I want you to mark over your homes, over the doorway of your home. And then I want you to take that lamb and I want you to roast it. And I want you to eat it, roast it in the fire, and then eat it. And then they were to take the unleavened bread and eat that along with it. And in that meal, and God said, here's how I want you to eat it. I want you to eat it with your sandals on and with your staff in your hand. In other words, get ready to go, boys. Get ready to go. I'm delivering you. Amen. And of course, that's a type of what we celebrate as communion. As the body and blood of Jesus. And you know, there's healing in communion. There's healing in the body, and there should be. Amen. If there was healing in the type and shadow of Passover, then how much more should there be healing in the reality, in the fulfillment? Hallelujah. Jesus fulfilled the Passover. Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. By his stripes were healed. This is my blood that was shed for you. And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but anyway, amen?
Amen?
They came out. There were no sick or feeble people among them. Hallelujah. Why? Because God was revealing himself as their healer. God was revealing, you people have a covenant with me. And that covenant includes healing. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, in Exodus 23, let's go back to that one. In Exodus 23 and verse 25, it says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and what's he going to do? When we serve God, what does he promise to do? He said, I'll bless your bread and your water. Amen? I mean, thank God for organic stuff, and thank God for stuff raised on that farm out there in Washington that those folks have, and all that stuff's good stuff. But it's even better to have God's blessing on your
Amen.
Bread and water.
Amen.
Amen. That's the most important thing.
Much better.
Amen. Now, I'm not saying you can just eat a bunch of junk. You can't eat at Checkers every day. Do you like Checkers, John?
Yeah.
Me too. We can eat there about once a month. About once a month. Okay. About once a month at Checkers, maybe once a month at Burger King. Can't eat there all the time and then just say, okay, God bless my bread and wine. We need to be in balance, amen. We need to be wise about what we eat, but we also can invoke the blessing of the Lord. That's why you ought to pray over your food.
Amen.
And when you pray over it, it's not just some formality. It's not just some, you know, you're asking, Lord, you said you'd bless my bread. This is a good prayer to pray over your meal, over your food. Father, you said if I'd serve you and worship you, you'd bless my food and water. So, Lord, I thank you that my food and water is blessed today in the name of Jesus. And he says, and I'll take away sickness from the midst of you. I'll bless your bread and your water, and I will take away sickness from the midst of you. That's what God said he would do. He said, I will take away sickness from the midst of you. That's our covenant of healing. Amen. Verse 26, it just gets better. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Glory to God. I will fulfill the number of your days. Look at what he said. Let's move forward in this old covenant, this covenant of healing that's revealed in the old covenant. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 6. God says to the children of Israel, says, for you are a holy people. Holy means set apart. You're a set apart people to the Lord your God. Do you know we're to be a set apart people to the Lord in this day? In 1 Peter, the scripture tells us that. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Amen. We belong to God. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. Well, why'd you do it, God? Because he loves you. But because the Lord loves you. And because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. That's the covenant. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Thank God. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Thank God he does. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's the faithful God. He keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations, it says. Let's go down to verse 12 or verse 13, excuse me. Let's go down to verse 13 and see what God says he'll do. It says, here's what he will do. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
It says he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock and the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. Verse 15, and the Lord will take away from you what?
All
sickness, and will afflict you with none. How many? None of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Look at what God said he would do. This is his covenant. God is telling them, God is declaring to them the terms of the covenant that he had with them. He said, you're a holy people. You're my people. You're in covenant with me. And I didn't choose you because of what you could do. I chose you because I loved you. Hallelujah. And I wanted to bless you. And I'm going to love you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to multiply you, and I'm going to take away from you all sickness.
Praise
I tell you, I'm preaching better than you're shouting tonight. This is some of the best news you've ever heard, isn't it? Amen. Glory to God. It's easy to preach this, though. Glory to God. All I'm doing is reading these wonderful promises. He will take away from you all sickness. Praise God. That's good medicine right there. Amen. When you're taking God's medicine, when you need to read some healing scriptures to ingest, you know, in Proverbs 4, we talked about that. I tell you, I use that. Last week we talked about seven reasons why your healing is guaranteed. And one of those reasons was because God's word is medicine and healing to our whole body, to our flesh. That's Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. You know, it is an all-purpose medicine. It is an all-purpose cure. No matter what your condition, God's word is healing and health to your whole body. I mean, you can't get any plainer than that. And so I decided to believe my own preaching. Imagine that.
Amen.
So last Wednesday, I want to give God praise too, and ha-ha on the devil. Last Wednesday morning, I got hit with a horrible, horrible sinus headache. And I barely made it through prayer school Wednesday morning. And then James was talking about Wednesday night, though. I mean, I was doing fine, right? Then Thursday morning or during the night, Thursday morning, I woke up and there's that sinus headache. It wasn't as bad as it was the night before. But I said, you know, I think I'm going to believe my own preaching. Instead of getting up and trying to get some medicine or something, God, I'm just going to get your word out and I'm going to take your medicine. I just preached that your word is healing and health to all my flesh and my whole body. I believe it, Lord. I believe that it is. So I just got my Bible out and I read this scripture and I read Exodus, the scriptures in Exodus. I read about maybe 15 healing scriptures, meditated on them for about 30 minutes, went off back to sleep, woke up, all the pain was gone. I was just fine. I was well. Praise God. And been well ever since until this morning, about 4 o'clock, I woke up. And there's that horrible sinus headache again. Well, I thought, well, I know where this is coming from.
Right.
It's happening on Wednesday mornings before prayer school.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is obviously the devil.
Yeah.
And so I got my healing scriptures out again. And I read my healing scriptures. I did take some Advil, when I'm not opposed to taking medicine. But I combined the two, but I put my faith in the healing scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And here I am. We made it through prayer school. We had an awesome time. We just tapped into some things in the Holy Ghost. I know the devil was trying to stop that, but he didn't stop it.
Amen?
Amen. And here I am again tonight, James, just bouncing off the walls preaching. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the Word of God works. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. He is our healer. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 103. We looked at this last week, but I just wonder if it fits in here with our covenant of healing. Psalm 103, verse number 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His," what?
Benefits
of what? Benefits of the covenant. Benefits because we have a covenant with Him. Amen. What are the benefits? Who forgives all your iniquities. How many of them?
All.
Who forgives all? Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Hallelujah. How many of our diseases does He heal?
All
of them. He said, don't forget His benefits. Don't forget the benefits that you have because you're in a covenant with God. And those covenant benefits are He forgives all your iniquities and He heals all your diseases. All of them. All of them.
Yes.
Amen? All of them. No matter what you have. He's the healer of every disease.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. Look at Luke chapter 13. Amen. Yeah, we could go on reading there. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I claim that one in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I hiked up Stone Mountain on Sunday afternoon in 100-degree heat. Hallelujah. Glory. And I thought I'm going to be, as I was driving down there, I thought I'm going to be the only one stupid enough to be doing this time of day. And I got down there, there's all kinds of people. The amazing thing, too, people think Stone Mountain, well, that's kind of a racist place, isn't it? You know, that Confederate memorial there and everything like that. There were more black people than anybody there.
Amen.
I thought about asking, hey, you must not feel like this is a racist place. They were having family reunions and everything there. That's all just ginned up by the media and the politically correct people. Amen. Luke chapter 13. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 13. And so back to Psalm 103, it says, forget not all his benefits. One of the benefits of the covenant is that he heals all our diseases. So we're going to look at something here that ties into that. In Luke chapter 13, verse 10, this is the ministry of Jesus. Now Jesus, in his ministry, he recognized the covenant of healing that the people of Israel had under the old covenant. And he operated under that. That's how he ministered healing to the people. He operated under that old covenant of healing. Because the new covenant said, well, this is New Testament. Yeah, but he hadn't. It is, but it isn't. Because Jesus hadn't yet gone to the cross. The new covenant was not in effect yet. The old covenant was still in effect. But Jesus brought healing to the people under that old covenant. Amen. Imagine that. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 10, it says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Notice, we'll stop right there. Notice it says this woman had a spirit of infirmity. So we know that Satan was the source of her trouble. It was a spirit of infirmity. Now, Dr. Dowie, John Alexander Dowie, he made this observation. He said, sickness is the foul offspring of its mother, sin, and its father, the devil. So all sickness is not the direct result of demonic activity, but ultimately the source is Satan. And so in this case, it was directly, there was a spirit, there was an actual demonic spirit that had attached itself to this woman. So was she demon-possessed? No, she wasn't demon-possessed. She was a good woman. She went to church every Sunday. She went to the synagogue. So she loved God. She was worshiping God. But you know, you can love God and you can worship God and the devil can still attack you and try to attach himself to you. And if you don't know any better, he will. If you don't know your authority, if you don't know how to run him off, you can be a good person. You can love God. But if you don't know to stand up and claim your right of healing, then the devil will attack you and attach himself to you. And so that's what had happened to her. And she had been this way for 18 years. Verse 12 says, but when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Now, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captive. That's exactly what he was doing right there. He said, woman, you are loosed. Woman, you are free from your infirmity. And he not only declared it, but then he acted on it because the next verse says, verse 13, and, everybody say and. And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is administering the power of the covenant of healing to this woman. Jesus is administering the benefit of the covenant, of the benefit of healing that was in that covenant. He's drawing on that covenant that she already had a right to. And he said, we're going to get this woman well. We're going to get her free from her suffering. She's been this way for 18 years. That's too long. Amen? Amen? Yes. Glory to God. 18 days would have been too long. Yes. But she didn't know it, and the people there weren't going to help her. Verse 14, it says, but the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Now, that's sad, isn't it? Instead of the ruler of the synagogue saying, oh, praise God, our sister is free, our sister is well, he got mad about it. Well, that's what religious tradition does. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. This is the guy that originally coined the phrase, healing is not for today. You hear people say that sometimes. Well, yeah, that God did that back then, but healing is not for today. This is the guy that coined the phrase. Healing's not for today. This is the Sabbath. We're supposed to rest. Healing is work, and we shouldn't be doing work. So if you want to get healed, come on the sixth. Well, nobody was there. They didn't gather on the. They only gathered on the Sabbath of the synagogue. There wouldn't have been anybody there. He was just trying to make excuses for his own lack of failing to present and bring forth the covenant of healing to the people in that synagogue. So the ruler of the synagogue, he was all about legalism, but he wasn't teaching the people to claim and to walk in their benefit of the covenant of healing. Amen. They lost sight. Those leaders in the synagogue, they lost sight of the heart of God. What was the heart of God? The heart of God, He says, I will love you and I'll bless you and I'll multiply you and I'll take sickness from you. That was the heart of God. They lost sight of all that. They got caught up on legalism and on the religious observance and on legalism, that they totally lost sight of the heart of God, and they totally neglected the covenant benefit of healing that belonged to them. They could have got that woman healed just like Jesus did if they had preached the covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, look at what Jesus, He goes on to say, verse 15, the Lord answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? Verse 16, look at this now. So ought not this woman, everybody say, ought not this woman. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, who bound her?
Satan
did. Whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath. He said, you're a hypocrite. He said, you'll at least, even on the Sabbath, you'll loose your ox and your donkey and let it go get water. And he said, ought not, how much more? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? What is he doing? Jesus is hearkening back to the covenant. He said, this woman has a right to be healed because she has a covenant with God. She's a daughter of Abraham. She's in covenant with God, and there's healing in that covenant.
Amen.
There's healing in that covenant. Amen. And she's got a right to be loose from this bond. Amen?
Amen.
And thank God He loosed her. Hallelujah. Amen. The same is true, except in another direction, with the Syrophoenician woman. We looked at this last week, I think. In Matthew 15, 26, the Syrophoenician woman, now, the woman, she was a woman of Syrophoenicia, which means that she was not a Jew, which means that she was what? Outside the covenant, right? She was outside the covenant. So technically, legally, Jesus didn't have a right to minister healing to her. And he actually said that in verse 26 of Matthew 15. But he answered and said, when she said, Lord, help me, deliver my daughter. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. What is she asking for? She's asking for healing and deliverance. And what does Jesus call healing and deliverance? He calls it the children's bread. So in essence, he's saying, yes, the children of Israel, the Jewish people, they do have a right to healing. They do have a covenant of healing. But ma'am, I'm sorry, you're outside that covenant. Well, was Jesus trying to keep healing from her? No. He was trying to get her to a place where she would boldly claim, which she did. In the next verse, she says, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, for this saying, go your way, your daughter's made whole according to your faith. Great is your faith, He said. Great is your faith. Hallelujah. So, here's the thing. Here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I pondered this today. God, get this, this will help you. You should write this down. God did not establish covenant in order to exclude anyone, but to guarantee those rights to those who would come into the covenant. So He didn't set the covenant up to exclude anybody, which we see this woman, He didn't exclude her when she demanded and when she said no, but even the little dogs get the crumbs. He wasn't trying to exclude her. He establishes covenant and He sets up covenant so that those who come into the covenant have a guaranteed right.
That's right.
Amen. That's why He establishes it.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. But all this that we've talked about so far, this is old covenant, isn't it?
Yes.
What about us today? Some people would tell you, yes, you know, but that's under the old covenant. Yes, there was healing under the old covenant, but we don't have that. We're under a different covenant now, and so we don't have that today. That's all the old covenant. And I know Brother Hagin talked about when he, as a teenage boy, I don't know how he even knew to think this, or the devil could even tempt him with this or try to discourage him with this when he read those promises of healing. But the, you know, the devil would say, yeah, but that's just for the Jews. Psalm 91, the Lord gave him Psalm 91. The devil said, yeah, that's just for the Jews. That's just for the Jews. That doesn't belong to you. That's just for the Jews. That's just the old covenant. Well, Let's look at this. Let's see. Go with me. The place where we need to go is the book of Hebrews, because the whole book of Hebrews is the Apostle Paul is comparing the old covenant with the new covenant. He's comparing the old covenant with the new. And so he makes a couple of statements here that are very revealing. In Hebrews 7, verse 19, he says this, "For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope." Everybody say a better hope. Better hope. "There is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God." What is that way which we draw near to God now? Well, we find out in Hebrews 10, we find out that we draw near to God through the blood of Jesus. That we draw near to God. In Hebrews 7, it says He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. So our better hope is Jesus. Our way to draw near to God is Jesus. And so it says the old covenant couldn't make anything perfect. The law couldn't make anything perfect. So God brought in the new covenant. And in the new covenant, there's a better hope. It's better. Everybody say it's better.
It's better.
Amen. And so let's look at Hebrews 6 now. And this is out of the New Living. I think it is. Yes. Hebrews 8, verse 6. Hebrews 8, 6. But look at this. "But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood." Look at this now. "For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant." Everybody say a far better covenant.
Far better.
A far better covenant with God based on what kind of promises?
Better.
Better promises. So we have a better covenant, and this better covenant is based on better promises. So just reason with me for a moment. If they had healing under the old covenant, but we don't have it, is that better? If God took all sickness from their midst under the old covenant, but He doesn't do that under the new, is that better? Well, some of you weren't not too sure about that. Is it better?
No.
Huh?
No.
No. If He healed all their diseases under the old, and He did, we read that, but He doesn't do that under the new, how can the new be better? And the answer is, it can't. What does it mean that we have a better covenant? Better means all that the old provide. You know, they're always updating products, aren't they? Whether it's laundry detergent or whether, you know, whatever it may be. And what do they say? New and improved, right? Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's not. But with God, we know that God doesn't flub up sometimes like manufacturers can. But in a lot of cases, the new and improved one is better, isn't it? Most of 90% of the time, even with a product, if they say it's new and improved, I mean, who wants an iPhone 2? Does anybody want to go out and get an iPhone 2? Does anybody want that? I mean, what are they on now? 6, 7? What? How far along are they? 6? Who wants to get an iPhone 2? Yeah. Nobody wants an iPhone 2. Why do you... I want the iPhone 6. Why? Because it's new and better. It does more. Well, what about, will it do everything the iPhone? Well, of course it does everything the iPhone 2, plus about 100 million more things. That's the way our new and better covenant that's established on better promises is like. It includes everything of the old, plus more. Right? The more, what is the more? The more is that we become new creations. They couldn't have that under the old covenant. The new, the more under the new is we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. They couldn't have that under the old. The new covenant, the more and better of the new is we're made the righteousness of God in Christ. The new and better is, and the more, we're not just His servants, but we're born of God now. We're His sons and daughters. We're His children. But it certainly includes everything the old included. It certainly includes every benefit of healing and taking away sickness from our midst and healing all our diseases. that the old included. It certainly includes all of that. Amen? And of course, we see that as we read through the book of Acts, as we read in the epistles, the letters in the new covenant, we see the covenant of healing, the blessing of healing and health being enjoyed and being received by believers under the new covenant. There's too many scriptures for us to look at tonight, but we will look at a couple. James chapter 5, verse 14. James chapter 5, verse 14. This is under the new covenant, isn't it? Notice how James starts off his statement here. Is anyone among you sick? He's operating under the assumption that there might not be. He's operating under the assumption that in that local assembly, in that local church, this letter was distributed widely throughout the people of God. And so he's thinking, you know, in this church, there might not even be anybody that's sick. Is anyone among you sick? Well, if healing wasn't provided as part of the new covenant, how in the world would he be asking a question like that? Right? Amen? But he said, if there is anyone among you sick, I'm going to show you how to tap in to your covenant right of healing. All right? And this is just one way. This is not the only way, but it's one way, and it's a good way. Is anyone among you sick? Well, do this then. Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, the word may there is not maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's an access word. It's an access word that you may be healed. It means, in other words, you could say it this way. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another so that you can access the healing that has been provided for you in the covenant. That's really what he's saying. This is a way to access the healing that has been provided for you in the covenant. And he says, he goes on there to say, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Amplified Bible says it makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Praise God. So, but let's think about that for a minute. As we wind down here, divine healing must be accessed, just like physical healing. You know, you could need healing and realize, hey, you know, if I just got to the doctor, if I just got to the hospital, they could help me. You know, you may have good insurance and all of that, but if you don't ever go to the doctor, if you don't ever go to the hospital, or you don't take the medicine that may be prescribed to you, then you won't get healed, will you? Why? Because you're not accessing it. You have to access it. Naturally, healing remedy has to be accessed. Well, if that's true in the natural, then it's true in the spiritual as well. Divine healing must be accessed. That's what James said here. He said, confess your faults one to another. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may access the healing that you have that's in the this covenant of healing. Amen. So how do we do that? How do we access divine healing? Well, we find out right here a necessary ingredient to access healing is repentance, right? Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, all right? And so one thing is repentance, all right? So repentance is the key to accessing healing. And then we find another one is faith. Faith accesses healing because he says the prayer of faith will save the sick. The prayer of faith. So it's repentance and faith, and those two go together. Repentance and faith go together. And so faith accesses healing as well. Look at Romans 5, verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, he says, through whom also, the whom there is Jesus, through Jesus also we have what?
Access.
How? Access. Everybody say, access by faith.
Access by faith.
Let's say it again. Access by faith. I want you to get a hold of this. Access by faith.
Access by faith.
How do I access the things of God? How do I access the grace? In this case, he's talking about grace. Well, healing is included in grace. How do I access the grace of God? I access it by faith. Amen? All right. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Again, faith is necessary. That's why I'm preaching to you. That's why I'm sharing these things to you. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, healing has been provided for us. Can we agree on that? I mean, I think we've made it pretty clear. We've made the case for it tonight.
Yes.
But you know, healing has been provided not just for us in this room that have heard this. Healing, Jesus paid for the healing of the whole human race. So many people haven't heard about it, though. They'll never access it, will they? If you can't hear about it, if you don't hear about it, you can't access it. Why? Because when you hear about it, faith comes, and it's through faith that you can access it. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it's through faith that we access healing. We access our covenant right of healing. Divine healing is accessed by faith. It's accessed by repentance because he said, confess your trespasses to one another. It's accessed by faith. And again, these things, you know, so which one am I going to choose today? Which access point am I going to? They work together. They work together. Now, you may not need to repent of anything. You know, God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. But we all need to exercise faith. I'm seriously, you may be in a good place where you don't need to. You've examined your heart. You don't need to repent. Okay, so you still have to access it by faith, though. Amen. And then look at this, Ephesians 2, verse 18. Ephesians 2, 18. Look at this. For through him, who is that? Jesus. For through him we both, talking about Jew and Gentile, talking about everybody, we both have what?
Access.
Have access by one Spirit to the Father. Well, is the Father a healer?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. You're a little slow in the draw there. Is the Father a healer?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Amen. He said, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord your healer. The Father is a healer. Amen.
Amen.
So we have access. How? By one Spirit. How do we access the Father? We access Him by one Spirit. So, I haven't studied this out, but I just something that just began to stir in my heart this morning at prayer school. We access the things of God by getting into the Spirit.
That's right.
Amen. Now, you could have sat home tonight and watched some show on TV, but I dare say you would not have accessed the presence of God, the grace of God, and the healing of God like you're accessing it right now.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Why do we gather together? Why do we worship God? Because it gets us in the Spirit. Because it's when we get in the Spirit, we access all the wonderful things of God.
Hallelujah.
That's why the devil tries to keep you from getting into the Spirit. That's why he tries to distract us. That's where our source is. That's where our supply is. That's where our every need is. It's met there. Amen?
Amen.
But through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. It's all through Jesus. Notice through him, the him there is Jesus. In Romans 5, it says through whom, that's Jesus. We have access by faith into this grace. Amen? So, there's another access point And that's the access point of forgiveness. Forgiveness. See, it's kind of like, in all of this, it's kind of like these things, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it's like something where you've got a, it's like maybe you punch in a code, and instead of punching in, 7243, you punch in repentance, faith, in the spirit, forgiveness. And then the door opens. It's kind of like they're all interconnect. If you just punch in one number of the code, it won't open, right? They're all interconnected. All right? Let's look at forgiveness. Let's go back and look at the scripture we opened up with tonight. Verse 23 of Exodus 15. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were what? What was wrong? They were bitter. They were bitter. I believe there's something in here. There's a picture. There's a type that God put in here for us. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. So the bitter was made sweet. And then the next verse is when he talked about healing. Verse 26, it says he revealed himself as the healer. So we can say this, when the bitterness was gone, the healing flowed. When the bitterness was gone, the healing flowed. Well, I think that might be a stretch there, Pastor. Well, I don't think it's a stretch at all. Look at Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4:31. He says, let all bitterness, let what?
All bitterness.
Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be what? Be put away from you with all malice. And be what? Verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That sounds a lot like the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Jesus said it this way in Mark 11. You think Mark 11, 24 is a way to access healing? Absolutely. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's a way to access healing, isn't it? But in the same breath, Jesus said in the next verse, he said, and when you stand praying, what? Forgive. You know it. Forgive if you have anything against anyone. Amen? So faith won't work with unforgiveness. So we have to employ forgiveness to access healing. Because healing, we access healing by faith, but faith will be ineffective. Faith won't work where there's unforgiveness. And here we see when the bitterness was dealt with, then the healing could be manifested. The healing could flow. Amen?
Amen?
That's why forgiving, that's why it's so important. That's why it's too costly to you not to forgive.
Yes.
It's too costly not to forgive.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank God we have a covenant-keeping God. And we have a better covenant that's established on better promises. We have all the healing promises and provision that He provided under the old covenant, plus more. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand up and just worship God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.